The CBS Radio Network presents A Salute to Jack Benny. Tonight, transcribed from New York, Hollywood, and Korea, you'll hear Ethel Merman, Ronald and Benita Coleman, Mary Livingston, General James Van Fleet, William S. Paley, Ray Block's Orchestra, and the Abbot of the Friars, Milton Berle, all gathered to celebrate Jack Benny's 20th anniversary in radio. And now, from the Waldorf Astoria, our master of ceremonies for the evening, Milton Berle!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, once in a great while, a man comes along who stands out in his field, a man with not only great ability, but with fine character, understanding, and generosity. We know this man for his great accomplishments, his progressive thinking, and his remarkable leadership. Ladies and gentlemen, you may have anticipated me. After all, how many men fit this description? I'm speaking of General James Van Fleet.
Milton.
We'll hear from the general later. And now a very few words from Jack Benny.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Those of you who are familiar with our profession know that we of the theater have an organization known as the Friars. Years ago, when Jack Benny was a young friar.
Cousin Milty.
It's Uncle Milty.
Oh.
Well, anyway, Benny wanted to know why the Friars had never given a dinner for him, and they told him he hadn't earned the decision, or honor, I should say. It had to be some memorable
that
occasion.
That kind of a mistake I can't figure out at all.
Mr. Benny, when we call on you, you'll have a chance to die. To continue, will you please be quiet, Mr. Benny, while I'm doing my speech? If there had to be some memorable occasion, like, for instance, his 20th anniversary on the radio before we gave him a dinner. That was Jack's first year on the air, but he never forgot the Friar's promise, and ever since, he's been waiting and eating very lightly. So, ladies and gentlemen, to explain my presence here tonight, I'll have to take you back to last summer, which I spent in Beverly Hills. I rented a house while I was there, and early one morning, my doorbell rang, and it was Jack Benny. I didn't attach any particular significance to the visit because Jack dropped in about once a week to read the latest magazines and make his phone call. Well, I'll never forget. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Milton. Yeah.
Jack, the New Look magazine just came in, and there's an easy chair by the telephone.
Thank you. Look at this picture of Dagmar in Look. See, it's a big picture. Continued on page 40. See, where are my glasses? Oh, here they are. See, it's not a picture of Dagmar at all. It's a B-29. Now, Milton, I came over here today for another reason. Remember the Friars promised to give me a dinner on my 20th anniversary in radio?
I don't remember anything like that.
But, Milton, it's in the record. You're the Abbot of the Friars, and I'm holding you to it.
Jack, let go of my lapel. If it means that much to you, when you get home, call Jesse Block in New York and tell him that I said to go ahead and arrange the dinner for you.
When I get home?
Oh, all right. You can call him from here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that's how this Jack Benny testimonial dinner came about. A short time later, I got a long-distance call from New York. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Burrow. This is Miss Simmons of the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Yes, Miss Simmons.
I'm calling for Mr. Paley. We were told that you were one of Jack Benny's closest friends.
Well, he and my telephone have been going together.
Well, since Mr. Benny is celebrating his 20th anniversary on the air this year, Mr. Paley would like to get him a gift, but he doesn't know what to buy.
Well, that is a problem. After all, what can you give a man like Jack Benny? He hasn't got anything. Let's see, Miss Simmons. Have you thought about giving him money?
Money? Money? But Mr. Paley would like to give him something that will last.
I guarantee you, when Benny gets his hands on a buck, that's the last of it.
But, Mr. Burl, money is such a cold gift.
Believe me, he's not interested in heat.
Well, thank you, Mr. Burl. I'll tell Mr. Paley what you said.
Would you mind laughing it up when you tell him?
Yes, Mr. Burl,
thank
I will.
Thank you very, very much. I knew Jack would be interested to learn that Mr. Paley had phoned, so I went around to see him. But Rochester said Jack had gone out with his violin to play at a gypsy wedding. So I dropped over again the next morning. Hello, Jack.
Oh, Uncle Milty. Come on in.
Jack, last night I got a call from Mr. Paley's secretary. It was about you.
Mr. Paley's secretary? About me? What'd she say? What'd she say? What'd she say? Is he mad at me? Is he mad? Is he mad?
No, Jack. No. No, Jack. Take it easy. He isn't mad. Your radio show wasn't even mentioned.
Oh, good, good. Good, 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 good.
Take it,
good,
Jack, good, calm good. Down. Calm down, will you? Take it easy. Jack, what's the trouble? Why are you so nervous? You've been in the business for 20 years.
That's why I'm nervous. Tell me, Milton, what did Mr. Paley want? What did he want? What did he want? I mean, what did he want? Come on, tell me. Tell me. What did he want?
Well, if you stop asking me, I tell you. Now, okay. Just a minute. I'll be able to speak to you. Huh? Look, Jack, Mr. Paley wants to give you a present for your 20th anniversary on radio. And he wanted to know what I thought you would like. Naturally, I said cash.
Milton, you didn't. Cash. What must he think of me? A man like Mr. Paley. I'll take his check anytime. So what happened?
Shall I tell him? Well, I'll tell you what happened, Jack. When his secretary, when I spoke to her, she seemed to feel that money was too cold.
Well, who cares about he?
Jack, I already used that joke.
Oh.
Now, who's stealing from who?
That's whom.
I'm sorry.
Say, Milton. Not to change the subject, but when I'm in New York, I'll have a few free evenings, and I don't mind working. So if you should happen to hear of any weddings or anything, keep me in mind.
All right, Jack. Well, I got to run along now.
Okay. Say, if you get a chance to remind Mr. Paley about, you know what, tell him it would be very acceptable.
Yes, all right. See you in New York, Jack.
Yeah. So long, Milton.
So long, sport.
Yeah, that was a good-looking suit Milton had on. Wonder if he's got as much money as I have. Nah. Well, I might as well get back. When I hear about a gift from Mr. Paley, I get ideas. I get ideas. Wonder how much he would give me. No, that wouldn't... That'd be too much. Well, the hand you never can tell, you know. After what's $20 to a man like Mr. Paley... Da 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 dum da dee da dum da 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 dee da. It might be 30 or even 40. Just a minute. Oh, hello, Dollface.
Hello, Jack. I'm all finished packing, Jack, and I thought I'd drop in and give you a hand.
Gee, thanks, Money. I mean, Mary. Come on in. I was just getting my things together. Yeah. Well, here's all the stuff.
Gee,
Gee, what an old satchel.
Well, it's a very expensive bag. It was a gift.
That figures.
That figures.
I'm sorry.
Now, you come over here to help me or heckle me.
I'm sorry. Here, I'll pack this bag for you. Bathrobe, slippers, socks, handkerchiefs, bath.
See, I forgot to tell you, before you came in, Milton Berle was here, and guess what? Mr. Paley is getting me a present for my 20th anniversary. Isn't that nice?
Yes, and I'm glad you reminded me, Jack. Are you taking the airline's limousine out to the airport?
No, a friend of mine is going to drive me out there. Why should I ride in their limousine and sit with a lot of strangers? Well, I better pack my personal things. Hand me that, Mary.
Which one? The one with the curls or the one with the bangs?
Both of them, and throw in the gray one, too. It'll probably be snowing in New York.
You better put a leash on. It might be windy, too.
Very funny, Mary. There's the door now. Busy, busy, busy. I should have waited until I left town before I gave Rochester his day off.
Oh, I'll get it, Jack.
Let's see, have I forgotten anything? Mouthwash, shoe polish, setless powders, vitamin pills, and tablum. And there's my bank book. See, the last page is almost all filled up. Da-dum, da-dum, da-dee-da-dee, da-dee-da-dee-dum. I'll need a new one. I'll need a new one.
Jack, that was the fellow outside with the meat truck.
Oh, that's Murray, my butcher. What did he say?
Well, he has to make a few deliveries, but he'll be back in a half hour to take you to the airport.
Good, good.
And the back of the truck is crowded, so you'll have to ride three in the front seat.
Is there another passenger?
No, it's a side of beef.
I don't care as long as I don't have to sit in the middle, you know.
Are you going to call Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman?
If I have time, I'll call him from the airport.
Oh, okay. Hello?
Hello, I have a call for Mr. or Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
Well, this is Mrs. Coleman.
Jack Benny, will you accept the charges?
Oh, long distance?
No, it's a local call.
No. Oh. Well, all right. Wait a minute. I didn't think you could make a local call collect.
Neither did I, but he talked me into it.
Well, put him on. Hello?
Hello, Benita? Oh, Benita, this is Jack Benny. I'm at the airport. The reason I reversed the charges is that I didn't have any change.
How'd you get the operator?
Somebody was here before me, and I caught the receiver in midair.
Well, why are you calling, Jack? Is anything the matter?
No. I just wanted you to do me a favor. You see, I'm leaving for New York, and I wondered, while I'm gone, if you and Ronnie would take care of my parrot. See, I hate to leave Polly in a strange pet shop.
Well... I don't know, Jack. Would you hold the wire?
Certainly, it's your money. I mean, as long as you... As long as you wish, of course.
Oh, Ronnie!
What is it, Benita?
I have something to tell you. Have you finished shaving?
Finished shaving? What difference does that make?
Well, I don't want to tell you while you still have the razor in your hand.
Oh, it's all right. I've quite finished. What is it?
Jack Benny's on the phone. Ronnie, why did you break the mirror?
Well, as long as we're having bad luck, let's have a reason. What does Mr. Benny want now?
Well, he's going to New York.
Good, good.
And he wants us to take care of his parrot while he's gone.
His parrot? Benita, do you think I could stand having his parrot around for the next 2 weeks singing "When You Say I Beg Your Pardon and I'll Come Back to You"?
What?
I'll talk to Benny.
Now, darling, now don't get yourself all upset.
Hello.
Yes, Benita.
This is Ronnie.
Oh, hello, Ronnie. Look, I'm going to New York because... The Friars Club is giving me a testimonial dinner.
Jack, Benita told me what you wanted, and it's out of the question. We cannot take care of your parrot.
You can't?
No. And frankly, I think a request like that is an imposition on your part.
Well.
You mean?
That's definite, Jack, and I see no reason to discuss it further.
Well, all right, Ronnie. That's the way you feel about it? Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What did he say, Ronnie?
Well, for once, my dear, I did the talking. I told him we wouldn't take care of his parrot, and that's all there was to it.
What's Jack going to New York for?
The Friars are giving him a dinner.
But why?
Well, they've given dinners for everybody. I suppose they've simply run out of people.
Yes. I read something about it. It's his 20th anniversary on the radio.
Say, Benita, do you think we'll have to buy him a gift?
Oh, I suppose so. He's already taken out ads in the trade papers thanking us for it.
He's a sly one. He does the same thing at Christmas. Well, if we have to give him something, we'll just... I'll take it, darling. Hello?
Hello, Ronnie. This is Jack again.
Yes?
Ronnie, the reason I called back is that I've been thinking that perhaps I was too harsh with you a few minutes ago, especially when I hung up.
Oh, on the contrary, Jack, it was I who was harsh with you.
Oh, that's just like you, Ronnie, trying to take the blame. But this time I won't let you.
Oh, but I want the blame.
No, Ronnie, our friendship means too much to both of us. Now, let's not allow a silly quarrel to come between us. And, Ronnie, you don't have to take care of my parrot. Just leave her in my house alone. No one to take care of her. No one to feed her. No one to cover her up at night. No one to change her water every day. No one to talk to her. No one to even care if she wants a cracker. Just leave her there, Ronnie. Goodbye.
Ronnie, you're crying. Who was that you were talking to?
Betty Davis. Excuse me, Benita. I'm going over and get Jack's parrot.
Gee, it's good to be back in New York again, walking down Broadway, the Great White Way. There's Judy Garland at the Palace, Jane Wyman in the Blue Veil, Phil Silvers at the Winter Garden, Bert Lahr...
Jack! Oh, Jack!
What? Why, Ethel! Ethel Merman!
Jack, when did you get in town?
A few days ago. Oh, say, Ethel, you know about the dinner the Friars are giving me for my 20th anniversary on the radio?
Yes, I heard about it, and I'd love to go, but I don't think I can make it.
But why? You don't have to bring an expensive gift, you know? I mean, I'd appreciate almost anything.
It isn't that, Jack, but I'm going to be busy.
Ethel, let me tell you something. There'll be a lot of important booking agents and producers at the dinner, and who knows? If you got up and sang a few numbers, you might get yourself a job.
A job? But, Jack, I...
You're no buts. You're still a young woman, Ethel, and you should be working. You know, if you make good on a club date, you might land a part in a show.
Jack, I'm trying to tell you that I'm in a show.
I mean on Broadway.
It is on Broadway. Call Me Madam. It's in its second year.
It is?
Jack, what's the last show you saw?
Peg O' My Heart. It was great. I'll never forget that scene when she came home with the baby in her arms and her father put her out of the house.
They don't write shows like that anymore.
Jack, why don't you do a play on Broadway?
Oh, there's nothing I can do.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Don't give up so easily. Okay, what kind of a play could I do, Ethel?
Oh, I can see you doing something by Shakespeare. Hamlet, King Lear, Richard III, Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet? But Ethel, Laurence Olivier did such a wonderful job as Romeo.
I was thinking of the other part.
That always happens to me when I wear the curly one. Try to get to my dinner, will you, Ethel?
I will, Jack. It'll be wonderful.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a genuine pleasure to welcome all of you to this historic night for show business, the Friar's testimonial dinner to one of his most distinguished sons, Jack Benny. On the occasion of his 20th anniversary in radio, gathered here are important personages from every part of American life and more stars than there are in the heavens. I can think of no more appropriate way to get these exciting proceedings underway than to have one of Broadway's great performers sing the theme song Irving Berlin wrote for our profession, There's No Business Like Show Business. Ladies and gentlemen, Ethel Merman.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. When you're down, the headache, the heartache, the backache, the flop, the sheriff will escort you out of town, the opening when your heart beats like a drum, the closing when the customers don't come. There's no business like show business, like no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died and gone. And top of that, your hard man parted. You're broken hearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are lost. Even with a turkey that you know will fall, handed out in the cold. Say you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on without a show.
Really magnificent. And now, as abbot of the Friars, I'm very honored to introduce our next speaker, Mr. William S. Paley.
Thank you, Mr. Burrell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Gee, he speaks well, doesn't he? I wonder what kind of a present he's going to give me.
Quiet, Jack, quiet, please.
When a man reaches the stage in his career where his friends and associates set aside an occasion to honor his achievements, then indeed that man may consider himself a success.
Hey, Melody, did Mr. Paley mention what he was going to give me?
No, and be quiet, would you?
Jack Benny is a success, not only because of his inherent talent, but because of his diligence, perseverance, his loyalty, and his unquestioned perspicacity.
Uncle Millie, what's perspicacity?
I don't know. Nobody ever called me that, and I've been a very big hit.
I wonder what he's going to get to my present.
Well, now, please, be patient, will you, Jack? Don't get nervous.
In my capacity as his employer, I have been in a position to observe his great qualities, and I am proud of my association with this fine and generous humanitarian.
Who's he talking about now?
It's still me. Why didn't he get to my present?
Why don't you shut up?
All right.
On an occasion such as this, it is customary to present the guest of honor with a gift.
Here it comes, Milton. Here it comes.
Jack, get down off the table.
Look, Mr. Paley's putting his hand in his pocket. Da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum.
Jack, for heaven's sake, stop it. Mr. Paley is looking at you.
Will Mr. Jack Benny please rise?
Get up. I can't. My knees are shaking. Help me, Milton. Huh?
Here, hold on to my arm.
They are.
Jack Benny, on behalf of the Columbia Broadcasting System, as a token of our friendship and affection, I take great pleasure in presenting you with this beautiful scroll.
Scroll?
Jack,
what's the matter with him, Milton?
He faded. Let's go on with the dinner.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've had our little fun at Jack's expense. But speaking seriously, we at CBS love Jack Benny. And I know that our listeners would want to join with me in thanking him from our hearts for the pleasure and wonderful entertainment he has given us since he started on the air. Also, we hope that he will continue on the air at least until he's 59, another 20 years. Jack has always lived up to the fine, unselfish tradition of show business. And again, he has been among the first to give of his time and talent for worthwhile causes. During the past summer, Jack went to Korea to perform for our troops who were so badly in need of entertainment. There he made friends of both GIs and generals. May we take you now to Korea, where you will hear the voice of the commanding general of the 8th Army, General James Van Fleet.
As commanding general of the 8th Army, I am very happy to have this formal opportunity of expressing my appreciation to Mr. Jack Benny and his entire troop of performers for their fine work among my troops in Korea. A good soldier is a soldier who can relax at the proper time and enjoy himself. Mr. Benny and his associates afforded my command that opportunity for relaxation. Speaking for them, Jack, I know their morale was enhanced considerably by your recent visit. It's my belief that you are an American tradition in the entertainment world. In Korea, for my men, it was like seeing and meeting an old friend, because for these many years, you have been coming into our American homes as our welcome guest. Thanks, Jack, for coming over. 8th Army wishes you continued years of success.
Now, here is Jack Benny.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was really a thrill for me, and I want to thank my friends in and out of show business for making this one of the great occasions.